school and the family are the two great formative institutions, along with religion, which historically have been responsible for passing on a legacy of good values to the next generation. And if we can start pulling together, it'll make a difference in our culture.
This is Family Policy Matters with NC Family President John Rustin.
Welcome to Family Policy Matters. This week, we're pleased to bring you part two of a discussion with Dr. Thomas Lacona about his new book, How to Raise Kind Kids and Get Respect, Gratitude, and a Happier Family in the Bargain. We hope you enjoy the show. Now, you speak in terms, Dr. Lacona, of parents being a character coach for their children. Talk about this concept of being a character coach and how does that differ from parents just kind of living life out at home on a daily basis?
Well, there's a great tendency and mistake that I think all of us fall into as parents is thinking that words alone will do the job. If we say, how many times do I have to tell you to do that, or how many times do I have to tell you not to do that, and we think that just as long as we repeat the words, it's going to somehow instill the virtue. But virtues are habits. This goes all the way back to Aristotle, and it comes down through Christian tradition that virtues aren't mere thoughts. They're habits we develop by performing virtuous actions again and again and again. You can't expect reasonably that a child will start saying please and thank you if you tell them that once or twice or three times. You have to tell them hundreds of times until it finally gets in the wiring. They have to practice it, and you have to anticipate. And then there are more complex sets of skills. For example, sibling conflict is a huge challenge in every family. The kids fight with each other. Parents then yell at the kids, and the whole house is upset. So I really encourage parents to have a dedicated space in the home for conflict resolution. You could call it the solution circle, the conflict corner, the talk it out space. And you have the steps posted for how to solve a conflict when you're having an argument or some sort of a problem with a sibling. And step one is you calm down, take three deep breaths, count slowly to 10, longer if you need to, and then you take turns saying what you think the problem is, what your feelings are about it. Then you show understanding of the other person by bouncing back what they said. That's a skill called active listening, tremendously important in conflict resolution, and will be of ongoing importance in, as you get older and in your marriages and so on, being able to show that you have heard the other person and you've taken the trouble to demonstrate that you've understood what they say, and they have a chance to correct it if you didn't get it right. Then you take turns what you think is a fair saying what you think is a fair solution, and finally you agree on what is fair to both parties of the conflict. Now, in the beginning, the parent's going to have to actually walk kids through that and say, okay, now step two is this, and coach them, give them feedback. Just like when you teach a kid to hit a ball or shoot a basket, you don't expect a lecture to produce a skill in sports. You understand that's going to take many tries, lots of feedback, trying again until they get the skill at a higher level of mastery. Well, it's the same with character skills. It takes demonstration, feedback, continuing practice, encouragement, and so on, until it becomes part of their repertoire.
Well, Dr. Lacona, obviously our children in the formative stages of life spend a tremendous amount of time in school. What partnering role can parents and educators play in creating a positive and reinforcing environment in their children's school so our kids are not just learning these virtues at home, but they're also learning them from their teachers and other folks within the educational environment?
Well, there should be lots of two-way communication. The character education movement, which is really a renewal of something that was present at our founding when every kid had to go to school for two reasons, to learn literacy and to basically learn virtues in order to be a good citizen in a democratic society. Now, we're getting back to that, and it's really been growing into a national and even international movement over the last three decades. And it basically involves trying to create the same kind of culture in the school that you're creating in the family and vice versa. The processes are really parallel. What works in the home works in school and the other way around. There's research that shows the basic processes are very similar in both domains. And certainly telling the principal very explicitly, you care every bit as much about character as you do about academics and perhaps even more. You want your child to be a good person and you support the school and whatever it does to help the children grow in character, and you appreciate the reinforcement of what you're trying to do in family life. so that the school knows that this is a priority. Lots of schools have the impression that parents care more about test scores and grades than they do about whether their child is kind and respectful. And of course, you know, that, in fact, is not the case. When you do surveys, parents say that they care more about their child's kindness and respect and honesty and responsibility than they do about the grades. Not that the grades aren't important, but they value character most highly. Ironically, parents and teachers have just the opposite perceptions of each other. So teachers think parents care more about test scores. Parents think teachers care more about test scores. So we need to get on the same page and realize that we both care deeply about character. And the school and the family are the two great formative institutions, along with religion, the third, which historically have been responsible for passing on a legacy of good values to the next generation. And if we can start pulling together, it'll make a difference in our culture.
You're listening to Family Policy Matters, a resource from NC Family. To listen to our radio show online and for more resources that will help you be a voice of persuasion in your community, go to our website at ncfamily.org.
Oh, Dr. Lacona, no matter how well we raise our children and no matter how kind they may be, it is inevitable that at some point they are going to confront a bully or another kid who's just plain mean. How can we prepare our children to process and respond appropriately to these kinds of situations and not be concerned that all the good things that we've tried to instill in them at home kind of come completely unraveled when they confront this type of conflict?
That's an excellent question, because the real world includes people who are not kind in their habitual approach to other human beings, and in fact, they're just the opposite. And of course, it helps for us all to have the humility to recognize that we each have unkind moments. We're each capable of cruelty. So we all can reflect on ways that we've not been kind, just so we all bring that humility to the situation. But there are some kids who sort of make a practice of meanness and get, unfortunately, very good at it. And so we need to prepare our children for that. They will encounter those bullies. We've got a good friend, he happens to be my surgeon. He has two fine sons, bright, kind boys, and they've each been called gay by their high school classmates and told that they should kill themselves. And, you know, got to the point where each boy is asked if they can go to another school. So we do need to prepare our kids going into the school environment. It can be even a private school. It doesn't necessarily have to be a public school, but to encounter this kind of vicious behavior on the part of some of the peers. So first of all, to think to yourself, as one quote says, everybody's fighting a hard battle. And in a sense, to feel a sympathetic understanding of why do these kids act this way? People who hurt others are hurting themselves typically, and the research shows kids like this come from homes where there's often harsh punishment, where they don't get the love they need, where maybe there isn't the sort of support that every child needs. So that's one perspective that helps. Second, not to instinctively lash back with a verbal retaliation, but at the same time, taking care of yourself so you're not a victim. Now, you can protect yourself from being a victim in a couple of ways. First of all, avoid a situation where you think you're going to encounter these guys. Second, be with a friend. Bullies pick on people who are not with somebody else. So that's important. To also tell our kids to be peer allies. If somebody is being victimized by bullies, you know, you hang with that kid. You give them some protection. You've got their back, as it were. You even offer them emotional support. Hey, don't pay attention to that kid. You know, let's go, you know, have lunch together, or you know, I'll see you later in the halls, or let's sit on the bus, whatever. Just something that befriends the kid who's been the victim of bullying. And finally, I really recommend self-defense. Our young older son was sort of a past kid in elementary school. We found out really after elementary school that he was picked on by some boys on the playground. I don't know how serious. He didn't see evidence that he was really upset by this, but you know, he acknowledged that he had faced some of that kind of pure cruelty in his elementary school experience. And then later on, when he was delivering papers as a 13-year-old in Boston, actually, he was attacked on the streets one morning. He delivered the Boston Globe before school started, and he came home shaking like a leaf. This kid held him at knife point. And he was probably on drugs, maybe 19, 20 years old. So we took karate lessons after that, father and son. And as a seventh grader, he developed the skills of being able to handle himself. And he only used those once. When he got back in our hometown, we returned from Boston, a kid jumped up from behind. He made a move, pulled the kid's ankle from under the kid, and the kid went flying backwards on his back, and nobody messed with our son again after that. But the real change is that when you know you can defend yourself, you send off different signals. You carry yourself with more confidence. So I do think self-defense for girls and boys, and these days girls are increasingly at risk of sexual assault, Lord have mercy. We're in a bad spot for culture regarding that. And I think it's good to know these basic skills of self-defense.
Well, Dr. Lacona, what would you say to parents whose kids are older and who may think it's just too late to create a home environment that espouses virtue and kindness? Based on your experience, is there a time at which these efforts really become futile? Or is there always hope for parents to break bad habits and to form new ones that can bring things that you talk about in your book, kindness, respect, and gratitude, into the home?
Well, you know, it's never too late. There are stories of terrible killers in prison having religious conversions and starting a whole new life. Walk in faith and so on. And there are stories of individuals who, I remember a kid who was really a mean kind of kid in high school, and I saw him a couple years later after he'd been in the military for 2 or 3 years, and he was a totally different person. He was courteous, friendly, just a different person. He had matured. I think the military as an institution can be a character-building experience for many, if not most, people who have that experience, and he came out a different person. So there's a human potential always to grow. It's never too late, but it may mean that you have to build a new relationship with your child. Often parents get caught up in negative dynamics. It may be that you need to say, look, you know, we've been going down a rocky road. I made some mistakes. I want to understand your feelings about things. Take a long walk in the woods. You know, you have a heart to heart. And then you make a plan for what you want to do differently, including rules, giving your child a chance to speak up for what they think is fair, and so that they have some voice. You don't compromise your principles in that process, but you try to respect them and understand where they're coming from. And then you know, you make a new start, and you do something like these family meetings and a family mission statement. And then you make sure you build in the connective rituals, so you're maintaining that one-on-one time. You're not just managing behavior. You're spending some time together doing something that you both enjoy. Help let your child choose where they want to go for breakfast on a Saturday or where they want to get a pizza and so on. You know, keep that one-on-one time going so that you strengthen the bond that gives you the inside track in a world of competing influences. But it's never too late. Kids can turn around. There may be things happening in their life that are disruptive, maybe problems at school, maybe they've had a traumatic experience. You might need family counseling, family therapy in certain circumstances. But never throw in the towel. And of course, you know, praying with kids and just asking God for the grace to deal with whatever challenges you face is tremendously important. We're not in this alone.
Well, that's a great encouragement as we conclude our discussion. And Dr. Lacona, before we do leave, I want to give you an opportunity to let our listeners know where they can go to get a copy of your new book, How to Raise Kind Kids and Get Respect, Gratitude, and a Happier Family in the Bargain.
Well, you can go to my author website, which is simply thomaslacona.com, and Lacona is L-I-C-K-O-N-A, so that's thomaslacona.com. There'll be a link to places you can order the book. There are three different choices. Some people like Amazon, other people prefer other booksellers, and so there are three choices for that, and then there's some other books that I've done in the past that people might be interested in, and then some free resources they can tap into. We have a character education center at our college for respect and responsibility, and a lot of free materials that schools can use in character education.
That's great. Well, I'm sure many of our listeners will avail themselves of that valuable information and will want to get a copy of your book, How to Raise Kind Kids and Get Respect, Gratitude, and a Happier Family in the Bargain. With that, Dr. Thomas Lacona, I want to thank you so much for joining us on Family Policy Matters and for your ongoing work to help parents and teachers raise kind and virtuous kids.
You've been listening to Family Policy Matters, a production of NC Family. To listen to our radio show online and for more valuable resources and information about issues important to families in North Carolina, go to our website at ncfamily.org. and follow us on Twitter and Facebook.